as Brother Elder Ed Dugaduga was speaking on the last three Sabbaths on Sabbath School about the kingdom of God, I went and did a research on the kingdom of God. And I wanted to know more about it because I was so interested. And I'm going to bring in some of the things that he taught and inspire me, and some new things that I collected. And because this is so important. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God. And John the Baptist says, the kingdom of God is at hand, when he pointed to Jesus. Very important. And Jesus says, I won't drink of this fruit of the vine anymore until I be in the kingdom of God. So, everything is about our journey to the kingdom of God. But he also said the kingdom of God is here. So, kingdom of God has many aspects, many things. So, our text is found in Matthew 3, 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So his message was to repent. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I have a story, and I like to take the stories from the Bible itself. And as found in Mark 12, verse 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and received that he, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So, he asked for one commandment, the main commandment. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:4. And he continues, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. In other words, we have to love our God with the wholeness of us. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Now, in this verse, it contains the whole salvation of men. It's all about loving God. And that love is shown by loving others. And it says here in verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said it the truth. So this man recognizes the whole gospel right there. He was a good man, a spiritual. For there is one God, and there is none other but him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love him, love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So, loving God and loving men is more important than coming to church on time, paying tithes, teaching Sabbath school. It's more important in priorities to love God and men. And when Jesus said that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Because he told him, you are on the road. You are in the right track. This is it. If we forget the entire teaching of the Bible, just remember, love God and love me. That's all is required. Everything else falls under it. Now, what is the priority? In Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first, what? What is the very first thing that we are going to seek? The kingdom of God. And his, and who is his righteousness? Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Otherwise, without Jesus, we couldn't understand or learn the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, if I'm worried about tomorrow, I'm worried about the things in the news, I'm worried about my family, everything. Jesus said, no, your priority number one is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and I take care of everything else. You go in the morning, sit down, have your devotion, worship God, talk to him, read his word, and let him take the worries of life. Now, what are the things that he says shall be added unto you? And verse 31 of Matthew 6 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So, we are not going to care about the things that we need. We have to go first to look the kingdom of God. Now, this kingdom of God is a mystery. In Matthew 4:11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries, meaning to the disciples, the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So, we have to be a disciple of Christ to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, there is a text. I love this principle of Isaiah 28:10. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, because I found a parallel text that says the same thing with different words. And it says, in Luke 8:10, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, what is the mystery of the kingdom of God? It says in Colossians 1:26-28, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not even the devil knew how God was planning to save the human race. And because after Adam fell, he was destituted of the power of God. Adam and Eve could not obey God in the flesh. So God the Father make a plan, and it was mysterious until Jesus revealed it, that Jesus will come and live in us so we can obey God the Father again. Otherwise, we cannot without Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Are you perfect today? Raise your hand, those who are perfect today. Maybe I'm asking the wrong question. Do you have Jesus in yourself today? It's the same question. It's the same question. Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it mean? John 14, verses 16 and 18 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Because Jesus knew that he was going to the Father in heaven, that he might abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, who came to live in our hearts? The Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I will come to you. Because the Holy Spirit don't speak of himself. He speaks the words that Jesus gave him. This kingdom of heaven cannot be seen. Luke 17, 20, 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So people said, where is it? Where is it? And they wanted Jesus to be an earthly king. We don't see the kingdom. And that's why Judas pushing him to become king of this world. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, I found some definitions of the kingdom of God. The first one is the presence of the Spirit of God. And in Luke 11:20, it says here, but if this is the word of Jesus, if I with the finger of God cast out devils. So he cast devils with what? With the finger of God. The kingdom of God is come upon you. So that was a proof that the kingdom of God was at hand. If he cast devils with the finger of God. Now, in Matthew 12:28, we're going to apply the rule line upon line, precept upon precept of Isaiah 28:10. But if I cast devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. So, another word that we learn for the Holy Spirit. The finger of God. So, yeah, then make you think. The finger wrote the Ten Commandments. The finger wrote on the wall many, many tekel upertin. So that's the same finger that casts out devils. Now, this, the presence of the Holy Spirit, also is a power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's why Jesus prayed that the Father will send us the Holy Spirit so the kingdom of God will be in our hearts. Now, identifying these powers in Luke 1:35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, let's explain the power of God. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, the power of God is also the gospel. A gospel of Christ. Yeah, it's not only the Holy Spirit, it's the gospel of Christ. In this text, in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, meaning physical, right? Physical. But righteousness is related to the work of Jesus, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do we have peace today? Amen? Do we have joy in the Spirit? Amen. Because you are on the kingdom of God right now. Oh, the kingdom of God is in your heart. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Why not in the flesh? Because all man is crucified with Christ. So now we are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, it called the Spirit of Christ. What mind and thoughts are brought by the Holy Spirit and put in our minds? Whose? Whose thoughts and mind? Christ. So, the word Spirit also means the mind. And this guy's the mind of Christ. Don't let anybody fool. You see, the Holy Spirit is Christ. No. It's the Holy Spirit brought the mind of Christ to us. That question was asked me by one of those who don't believe in the Holy Spirit. What's the mind of Christ? It's Christ. No. He brings the Holy Spirit brings the mind of Christ to us. So this is the mystery, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And by having Christ, whose mind do we have? The mind of the Father. It goes all the way to the Father. Okay. So what is the Spirit of Christ? Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equaled with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, if we have the mind of Christ, do you think that we will be humble? And that we'll become obedient even unto death? No, if somebody challenges us to be obedient even unto death, that very soon will come with the snatching of Sandila. You better have the mind of Jesus. You better be having the power of the Holy Spirit. You better have the mind of the Father. Because if you don't have them, and the old man dead at the cross, what happened to Peter when he was asked 3 times? And you, was Peter sincere? Yes. He was a sincere disciple. Are you sincere this morning? Yes. I am sincere. But if we don't have the power from above, sincerity will not help us facing the challenge of Sandila. We have to have the Holy Spirit. The old man has to die. The old man cannot face the enemy. Peter drew the sword, the old man teetered and cut Malchus. I really believe he tried to chop his head, but Jesus prevented from doing worse. And Jesus, he said, no, this is a mistake. Let me fix it right now. Right? See, Malchus was not a spiritual person in that sense, but Jesus fixed him for that. Okay. So, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you? What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The kingdom of God is also the presence of God the Father and Jesus. John 14:20. The day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You see the kingdom of God in us? Absolutely. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So, when Jesus says, I will come unto you, and I will send the Holy Spirit, actually, all three come, because they can never separate. They had never separated at all. Now, absolutely, because they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people may say, well, I read in the book of Acts that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, some people, I was in Guatemala, and they asked me, Pastor, would you baptize? I said, yes, but we only believe that we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Can you do that? I said, no, I can't, because it's not my belief. And they said, why? Because in Colossians 2:9, it says that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus Christ is the Father, is the Spirit, and is himself. So, and Matthew mentioned that has to be baptized in the name of the tree. And it matches. Yes. Okay. So, the knowledge of the kingdom of God is found in the gospel. So that's why Jesus came with the gospel or the kingdom of God. Let's see what the gospel has to say. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for henceforth am I sent. And Mark 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. What two things we have to do? Repent, ye, believe the gospel. So part of the gospel is repentance. And the repentance has to do with confession. It has to do with confession, repentance, turning away, and being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What is the origin of the gospel? 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my truth. So the gospel comes from the Father. Mark 1:14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So that comprised the whole gospel. Okay, can I continue? Thank you. Okay. Yes, I appreciate is we have fully attention to God this morning. Okay, Luke 8:1, and he came and I. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. So where do we find the knowledge of the salvation? In the gospel. And that's the power in it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is delivered by the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know that manner of men we were among you for your sake. So the gospel came in the power of whom? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Luke 9:2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Very important. Do you know why the Adventist church was given the health message? Because you cannot preach the gospel without a health message. How much time Jesus spent more? Healing and preaching. Healing. That's very important. No other church has this message. We are privileged to it. The health message. Yes. The right hand of God. Of the gospel. Thank you. Luke 9:11. And the people, when they knew it, follow him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. It's not separated. Luke 10:9. And heal the sick that are therein, and said unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Nigh unto you. Now, when we preach, or when we teach the gospel to other people, don't stop just on the doctrines. You have to tell them the right way of living, how to honor God with our habits, and sleeping well, exercising well, getting sunshine, drinking water, bathing, trusting God. And we sometimes stop just trusting God and forget the seven other, which are very much together. It's a package. Cannot be broken. Now, the kingdom of God is also a dynamic process. It's not something that you go to a place or you go to the United Kingdom. No. It's a process. And this process is like this. In Mark 4, 26 to 27 says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and arise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth it not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn on the ear. What happens after we have worship every morning and you come to church, you do Bible studies, you read the Bible? What happened to your likeness to Christ? It grows. It grows. First the ear, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn on the ear. It is like a grain of mustard. Matthew 4, verse 30-34. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up and became greater than the earth, than all the earths, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And this made such parables spake he, the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. So, somebody may ask, are you perfect? No, you think, oh, I'm impatient. Maybe I rush into things. I forgot to pray, and I do things on my own. I'm not perfect. But be careful. The devil will come and lie to you saying, you'll never be perfect. You see? You just fall. You'll never be like Jesus. And try to discourage you and discourage me. But I'll tell you one thing. When we have worship every day, and we confess our sins, Jesus covered us with his righteous robe. And when God the Father look at us, he look at Jesus. He doesn't look Harold Cortez. He look at Jesus. So if you go covered by Jesus Christ, you had an accident, or you die for any consequence, and you're covered with Jesus, you're saved. You are saved. Because you have the patience of Jesus, you have his mind, his character, because the old man was put at the cross. That man that betray us sometimes. So you can be perfect. Jesus can be perfect in you. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it will be a time when the old man cannot come out of the cross at all. Okay. So, you need to become a disciple to comprehend the parables. But without, I think it's Mark 4, 24. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. You will find this very interesting is that how come when you pray you say thank you Father, now I understand, and then you go and tell somebody on the street or a friend about the Sabbath and they don't understand it and it's so clear and you say, oh no, I can't I can understand why they don't reason. It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes. Spiritually discern. Yes. Now, do we have evidences that the kingdom of God is in our heart? Let's check it out. And it says Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If we have the Holy Ghost, we are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing offends us because we have peace. And we are rejoicing in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The kingdom of God is manifested when we love our neighbor. Ah, that's when the tire meets the road. Okay. Because remember that we start with the story of the Pharisee. And the Pharisee says, Lord, yes, love God with all ourself and our neighbor as ourself. So, one, when we love God and we have the love of Him, we cannot but love men. We cannot but love them. Even the enemies, praying for the enemies and for people that despise us and mistreat us. And then we are free from anger, free from jealousy, envy, all that stuff. We are free because the old man is dead. Secondly, we gave it to Jesus, and He's managing, and we have His mind now. We are happy and peace. Amen. So, Matthew 12:32, and the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, why is it that we have to love our neighbor as ourselves? How can we love ourselves before loving our neighbor? It sounds like kind of egotistic, but it's not. We cannot love our neighbor if we don't love God first. And by loving God, we come to Him and we confess our sins and we said, Lord, kill the old man. So loving ourselves is presenting us as a living sacrifice, dying to self. The old man had to die and accept it and receiving the mind of Jesus Christ. That is loving ourselves. Once we have the mind of Christ, then we can love our neighbor. That is loving our neighbor as thyself. Exactly. So, now, the world has a different definition of loving self. Me, me, me. Everything that we do, we expect something in return. Now, that's selfish love. It's the world's love. But the love of God is of service. And if we service, do we expect something in return? No. Not at all. Exactly. You're gonna find yourself, you know, if you were giving me a present for Christmas, don't bother. Yes, give me a hug or give me a call. It suffices me. Well, okay. So, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. The 10 commandments. How many commandments are contained in the love of God? Okay, how many commandments are for loving God?
Four.
And how many for loving men?
Six.
See, exactly. And the last six is a demonstration that we love the first four commandments. Yes. And if we love, do we keep Sabbath?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so There are many people that love God in the world, and I guarantee that when they get to know about the Sabbath, they will keep it because they want to please God. And they won't keep it because they are pleasing self. Now, let's see who, in any kingdom, there is a king, right? Let's see who is the king. Psalms 68:24. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, and the sanctuary. Revelation 19:16. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So, there is a promise of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 14:25. Verily I said unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink new of the kingdom of God. So, you see that the kingdom of God has different meanings. The kingdom of God is right here at hand. It's lived within us. But it's also the place where we are going to. Daniel 2:35-44. Thou sawest till the stone was cut out with our hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass and silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the winds carried them away, that no place was found in them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, you want to know the qualifications for the kingdom of God? Let's examine ourselves. We have to be like children. Mark 10:14. But when Jesus said it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Do children trust their parents? If the children is up above and you say, jump, they jump? They do. We have to be like children. When God says, jump, you jump. Yes. Now, in Luke 6:20 says, and he lifted up his eyes and his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So, if you see a poor person, is that what it means?
No.
Let's see. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Where is the spirit of man? What does it mean? It's the mind. The word spirit can mean the Holy Spirit. It can mean the nature of the Godhead. They are spirit. The nature of angels, they are spirit. It can mean the mind of God. It can mean the mind of men. So, read the context and you find what the word spirit means. And it says here, blessed the poor... it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they are destituted of self. They are humble. They are obedient to God. Proverbs 16:19. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. It also, we need to love God. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? So we can claim the promise of God when we love him. We need to be born again. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. kingdom of God. Being born again, it means that the old man is dead. And what is the name of the new man? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is the new man? Christ, the new man. If we are all born again, whose mind do we have? The mind of Christ. That's the name of the new man. We take his name. Now, there is another text that is parallel. Jesus answered, "Very verily I said unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Because it's the Spirit that gives us life and hearken us from the tomb. We have to be baptized. Acts 8:12. "But when they believed Philip preached the thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women." And now there is an appeal. Mark appealed to all of us. And he says in Mark 9:47, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the hell fire." Have you ever wondered why you are not rich? Why you don't have spare money? Because Jesus says that it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. If these eyes go after pornography, you go after the world, after Vegas, and I come and pray, "Lord, I want to be saved." No wonder the Lord can make me blind. And then I'm blind for life because he loved me to save me. If I do some with my hands that I shouldn't, and I said, "Lord, save me," I may lose my hands. That's why sometimes we, through life, carry some burdens, some thorn in the flesh. But the thorn in the flesh is to keep us humble. Apostle Paul fell from the horse and got blinded by the light of God. And it comes a disciple, Didymus, and pray for him. You know how much he recovered his eyesight? He didn't recover 100%. Partially. God only healed him partially. And then he begged God 3 times. And what was God's answer? "My grace is sufficient for thee." So, he says, be content for what would you have. Be content. "Lord, thank you. I only have a glass of water. Thank you, Lord. Precious Lord." Because he's doing everything for my salvation. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, yeah, that's true. So, we already learned that we had to love our neighbor, and I'm going to skip. And then, there is a warning from God. Don't be deceived. Don't follow the world now. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Very clear. Not unrighteous. And then describe what is unrighteousness. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates." Politically correct. But he says, "Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That is homosexuality. Abusers of themselves with mankind. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So, in other words, he says, be not deceived. and very clear. It's right there. It's not my word. I just read it. Now, having the kingdom of God in our heart is an order. God is giving us an order today. It says, Luke 9:60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And can you believe I did a funeral for Sister Betty's son last week? And on the graveside, I read that text. Let the dead bury the dead. Now focus on Jesus and start working, winning souls. That's what it is. We have to be fit for it. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plug and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You and I had put our hands in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Don't look back, because we be unfit for the kingdom of God. Now, there is a prayer here of Jesus. I'm going to read it with all reverence. Matthew 6:9-15. And this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And you can repeat with me and go along. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if ye forgive no man their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's an impossibility to forgive in the flesh. We have to be in the Spirit. Now, thanksgiving to God. Jude 1:24-25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And can we stand to receive a blessing? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let's all kneel as possible. Gracious Father in heaven, you had given Jesus the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gracious Father, we on our own can do nothing. Please take us from where we are and put this old man at the cross and put in our hearts Christ, the hope of glory. Lord, we want to do his thinking, his feelings, his work. And Father, be gracious unto us in our walk through the kingdom of heaven. Give us your blessing and bless the next sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.